Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
We are back. We are back. Can you stand it? Let's Tuesday Night Live. Y'all know how we get down here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It is your host and executive producer, lifestyle and abundance coach, Kim Bullock-Hennix. Really just excited to introduce to you and present to some our special guest tonight, who's going to be speaking on how to achieve success, how to achieve massive success in your industry and break through belief barriers. You know, we all at some point in our life have had a dream or two. And whether or not that dream becomes a reality or not depends on the determination, the circle you have, and the drive. I want to introduce to you, this brother here is a legendary, look at Herb, they call him Urban Legend because he lives by his name, okay? Fashion designer, influencer, major, I call him iconic because he is. And his name is Edward David. If you ever want to be able to look at what it takes to be one of the heavy hitters in the game, you've got to be able to surround yourself with people who have like knowledge, who are like-mindedness, but most of it, most importantly, who know how to overcome and achieve massive success. We're going to get into a story tonight. Put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen, on Brown Sugar Radio. Welcome. Yeah. Right, look, you know we had to get that cheer, that applause on. How are you?
Yeah, I like that applause. I like that.
Well, you definitely deserve it. I mean, you've been in the fashion industry for quite some time now. I remember, look, dressing my son in it, and he's 26 now, okay? So that tells you a lot about
wow, really? Okay.
He was a baby. Yeah, and I loved it. And when I first met you, you was like, you don't know nothing about that. I said, yes, I do. I do. I know about Urban Legend. And so it's just a pleasure to have you on the show. So excited for you to take the time to share with my listeners your story. So thank you for joining us.
No, you know what? I really always try to make time to speak or my way of giving back or to take time out to let people know about certain things because generations have changed and time has changed. And back when I was coming up, there were no black influencers or there wasn't anybody doing the type of things that I was doing. It just wasn't. So we had no outlet. We had nobody to talk to, period. So
yeah.
That's what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely. And why keep the information to yourself, right? I believe the truest success is when you share it amongst others and when you can inspire someone else to go after what their heart's desire is. You know, that's where you've really made, in my opinion, the most impact in life.
No, you're right.
So
you're right.
Applaud.
I mean, the thing about success is people want to hoard it because we don't want to share it because we don't want nobody to outshine us. And giving somebody the knowledge and able to go and do their own thing, that's really your greatest success. It's like when I was in the music business, I'll give you an example. You had R&B artists that had R&B groups, but none of their R&B groups really made it because they didn't want their groups to outshine them. But if you look at the hip-hop and the rap industry, they brought in artists, and they brought in artists that were bigger than them and got better than them. But they made money off of it. R&B artists had an ego. They didn't want any of their artists back in the early 90s to be bigger than them. And
that's crazy.
In that sense, a lot of those R&B groups that were, you know, back in the day, they're not around no more. Or they're around or they're resurfacing now.
Well, yep, they're trying to, break through what was holding them back. It's almost like the crab syndrome. You know, we see that big barrel of crabs, and it's always one crab to pull another one down as soon as they make it to the top. You see what
right.
I said? But, yeah. And,
so you
and
tell
I
me what you got
effective.
For me. I am an open book, and to be honest with you, I really, really rarely even speak to people or do interviews and things like that. I just have gotten out of it. But when you asked me to do this, I was honored to even do it, that you even asked me. And it's something that
Thank you.
I feel as though I needed to do. No, honestly, it's something that I felt as though I needed to do because of the fact that I tell people that it's difficult, not just in my industry or any industry when it comes to an artistry or you're trying to do something outside of the norm. Everybody wants to be affiliated with success, but a lot of people don't want to put that work in. That work is utmost.
Say it. And that right there deserves another round of applause, my brother. The work. That's what I'm talking about. And I gotta say this. I wanna share a little bit more about your, you know, this theme song I put for you. I Look Good. I picked that for a reason because it speaks about who you are as an individual and what you serve, looking good, but when you look good, you feel good. You hear me? And so I wanna talk about the journey, you know, look, you already know.
Yeah, hey, trust me,
you were granted. Man, in fashion merchandise, I mean, that had to be a dream of a lifetime, being able to serve in a passion with something that you didn't have to pay a penny back on. You had a full scholarship, okay?
Yeah, but here's a story on that full scholarship. Here's a story on
Wait,
that.
Wait, let me cut the music off. Wait a minute.
Story. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to want to hear this. See, here's the thing. Like, you know, I'm going to give you the history of me, and I'm going to give you history on why I came up with the name and things. Back when I was in high school, I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. When I was in high school, there were no black fashion designers. There were none. This is before Carlton Nye. This is before Fubu.
Yeah.
This is before Sean John. They did not exist. There was one fashion designer out of New York, and it was called Willie Wear. And anybody associated with fashion back then, if you were a guy, you were assumed to be gay or homosexual because men didn't gravitate to fashion. Fashion was something we didn't gravitate to. And when I was in high school, I was supposed to graduate, and I got involved into this class called fashion merchandising. And I got involved into it. When I was a kid, I used to lay my clothes out on the bed. I had a GQ magazine. You know, I'd take pictures and everything. It just was something that was already in me. When I started going to this class, which was fashion merchandising, it really developed me, and it taught me more about the concept of fashion and the business side of fashion because, like, what we would do is it was a class. Every year we would put on a fashion show, and we were in charge of putting the fashion show on, the production, everything, the clothing, everything.
Wow,
now,
that's dope.
I was supposed to graduate. I didn't graduate when I was supposed to graduate. I had to go back and repeat the year. So when I went back to repeat the year, it gave me another year of fashion merchandising. It was a two-year program. So when I went back to do my second year, that's when I ended up getting a full ride scholarship to Owens Technical College. I got accepted there. And at the time, again, I got to stress this. There was no social media. There was no influence. There wasn't nobody doing what I wanted to do. I got laughed at. I got cracked jokes on. But I stayed with what I do, what I did.
I know that's right.
I had an uncle. You know, love my uncle to death. My uncle to me was like one of the smartest persons. You know, he had the job. He went to work. He was that guy. And I thought that's what I was supposed to do, follow that. So I asked him, and I said, you know, I got a full ride scholarship for fashion merchandising. My uncle, I still remember this. We laugh about it today. He said, you know, you might want to get a change your degree to business because you'll never, and I stress that he said you'll never get a job in fashion or make any money.
What? Oh, my
And I changed my degree. I changed my degree.
Wow.
And ended up flunking out. And ended up flunking out. Like, literally, I changed my degree to business. I went to school about 6 months and flunked out.
And he said, I'm over this.
You know, like I said,
18,
it wasn't. 19. The thing is, I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
I flunked out
right
because I took the advice of someone who I believed, and at the time, there's nothing negative about, you know, a family member or family, but here's the thing is, they didn't know no better because there wasn't anything that they could learn from to see better. So they didn't
there
know.
There you go, right
My
there.
Concept was get out of school, get a 9-to-5, work at a factory job or work at a city job for 30 years and die and go on your vacation 1 week out of a year and die. And that wasn't
that
the life that I wanted.
That ain't it.
It wasn't for me. Now, if that's for you, but, you know, by all means, I applaud you. But something like I tell people, you got players in the game, and you got some people that just got to sit on the sideline and cheer, but you still need them because they're going to cheer you on. You know, so
that
changed my life.
There was a quote that you said today, actually, and I wrote it down because I felt.
Oh, man, what was it?
You put the ability to do what you want. When you want.
I believe in
with
that.
Who you want. Right. For as long as you want, it's priceless. It is the highest dividend money pays.
Let
I
me tell you,
where
I'm at in my life right now, and that's why I call myself the urban legend. When I came up with the clothing line, people was like, urban legend? I said, because that's who I feel like I am, because it's been a long experience of what things that I've been. I don't know how much time you got, but when I was 21 years old, remember, I flunked out of college. I moved off moved to Michigan, living in Michigan, and I was going nowhere. I got fired from 8 jobs in 1 year. Literally.
What?
I still remember all the jobs.
Oh, no.
I got fired from 8 jobs in 1 year. I had no discipline. I had no focus, and I didn't know what I wanted to do because at the time, I flunked out of college. Once you flunk out of college, it's hard to get back into a college. My GPA was 1.6.
Oh, really?
I applied to Michigan State. I think they ripped my application up. Like, literally.
Like you playing,
and to
right?
tell you what saved me. No, I'm not joking. I'm telling you, look, I'm telling you this 100% fact. I was living in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was working at a restaurant called Brown Round. I was a kitchen manager. And at the time, I didn't have a place to stay. I had a car, but I didn't have a place to stay. I took the job up there to get out of Ohio, and I didn't have a place to stay. I used to sleep in my car and drive to this place called Lookout Mountain at night because all the other cars are there. And then in the morning, you know, people leave, but I was still there. So I would sleep in my car. I'd go to I think it was a Chevron gas station in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I changed my clothes, shower up, and then I'd go to work at the Ground Round restaurant. I had a place to eat, and I had transportation in order to get money, you know. And we used to steal food out the freezer and go and sell them and hustle it to make money. That's how I survived.
Mm.
The thing that saved me. It got me on track was I was sitting in my place in Grand Rapids and I saw this commercial and some of y'all can attest to it. It was an old commercial called Be All You Can Be, the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
And me and my friend, we looked at each other and we was like, dog, we need to sign up on the buddy program and go in together. There's no such thing as a buddy program. You ain't going in together. So don't believe that shit. You ain't going in together. I went to Europe, he went to Asia. We didn't see each other until after the damn desert storm. But when I went into the Army, I had a focus. You know, I knew what I wanted to do. I went in. The one thing I can stress on people, and I tell people, you got to have a plan. I don't care what you do. You can move to a different city. You can change whatever, but you can't change your DNA. You can't change you. You have to change your mindset, and you have to change your habits. Once you change your habits will change everything else. Real simple. When I went to the military, I knew I could. Hey, when I went out, I was like, can't fuck up in here, because you fuck me, you're going to jail, or it's going to be some, it's going to be some serious consequences. But I knew wanted to go back to school, because it was important for me to go back to school. So while in the military, I went to school for free. And then I ended up getting another scholarship for the American College of London. Got a scholarship for American College in London for fashion. For fashion. Remember, I'm 21. I went in at 21, which was considered old. So when I got out of the military, I went to London, I studied fashion merchandising for 1 year, and I ended up coming back to the States. And when I came back to the States, again, I still wasn't in fashion. I came back to the States and I finished my degrees in business. Like right now I hold a degree in social work. And I hold a degree in business marketing. Nothing in fashion. Okay. I have no fashion degree. I want to stress that to people. I have no fashion degree. None.
Look at that.
But I ended up in a, and I call it luck. You know, people call it blood. You have to have a certain degree of luck in life. It's just life is about a certain degree of luck. I ended up working.
That's real.
I got a buddy of mine. And he knew Gerald LaVert. You know, rest in peace, Gerald LaVert. He knew Gerald LaVert, and he asked me, he said, hey, man, you want to go to this concert? We got an opportunity to work security. And I was like, okay, go. It was my first time working security, and I ended up working security for the Troop, MC Hammer, Blackstreet, and Miss LA Tour. And that's how I got on. And I literally worked in the – I worked in the – music business. Again, fashion wasn't even
first,
in my mind. I wasn't even thinking about fashion. Fashion was way down the line.
Listen,
I didn't even think about it.
That's funny. That's funny you mentioned Troop, because I was listening to Troop the other day. My baby girl, 15, mind you, she looking at me like, who is this? You know, and I was like, dang.
Mama
Cedar,
spread my wings.
Yeah.
Come on.
So it was funny. I kept playing it because that's exactly the song I was listening to, the one you just mentioned.
My roots is music. My roots, my roots was music. I was in the music business. I started with Gerald LaVert, and Gerald LaVert hired me to be road manager for the Rude Boys. Remember Written All Over Your Face?
Yep, I remember
the Rude
that.
Boys
I love
had,
that song.
Had, yep. So I worked for Gerald LaVert, was Men at Large, the Rude Boys. I worked with Ready for the World, MC Hammer, Blackstreet, Miss Chalet, any R&B back in the – I remember this is in the 90s.
It.
Any 90s R&B group that you can think of, I was the guy that they hired out. Remember, I had a degree now. I had a degree in business. I was the guy that they hired out to go on tour with these guys, to make sure that they showed up on time and everything. I was that guy. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do anything. I was that guy that handled the money, made sure everybody's scheduling was right and everything. And I got loaned out. Basically, I got loaned out to go, hey, man, Atlantic Records got a new artist. They want you to go out with a Brandy. I mean, anybody that you can think of. And that's really how I transitioned into the fashion, and how I really got into fashion was it was a mistake. It was literally a mistake.
Look at that.
I was.
But you know what? I don't know. But you know what, Ed? I look at it in the natural, right? We could say it was a mistake.
It's in the natural,
but
you can't explain the natural.
It.
Right, but you can't explain
like
the natural
calling.
When you're going through it.
Yeah,
it can be a calling. But,
you were
but the thing about life is true. The thing about life is when you're going through it, you're not able to experience or know the outcome of it. You just have to go through it. And there's different phases and steps in life that have occurred to me. I strongly believe this. I've had some pretty fucked up bad things happen to me, but my belief is they always will work themselves out. And they do. It's just a part of the game. Bad thing, I don't look at things as bad and good. I look at it as an experience or a situation. Nothing happens bad to me. I don't care what it is. Nothing happens bad
That's
to me
right.
because in death there is life. And in controversy, there is perseverance.
Yes.
You just have to be able to pull it out and understand the situation instead of, woe is me. And that's why when good things happen,
right.
I'm not a guy running around telling, I'm blessed whether it's negative or positive, and I don't use negative. There's no such thing.
Right.
Everything happens in its phase. And people, I think nowadays, we're so caught up into everything just going our way and everything being the way that it's supposed to be. No, it works itself out how it's supposed to. What you're supposed to do is pull from it, learn from the experience, and manipulate it and do what you need. Like the pandemic. People, you know, the pandemic was a bad thing. I've had friends of mine that passed away. But for me, I got paid. It was one of the best things that happened to me. I ended up getting my deal with Neiman Marcus. The Neiman Marcus deal came through for me during the pandemic, and a lot of things happened. So I don't focus on negative and bad. You have to look at
it
and have a plan. But first of all, you have to have a plan. And my plans have – when you have a plan, you got to be able to alter that plan in certain situations. It may not go the way you want because this thing called life kicks in. So you got to be able to go in and alter it or stop what you're doing, change this and change that. And people say, well, you know, you got to stay on the road and stay on the path. No, motherfucker, sometimes you got to get off the road, get in the dirt or get in the water and swim and get your ass dirty.
Yeah,
that's just part of life.
That's very true. Yes. Yeah, and I love that. And that's why I titled your show, you know, How to Achieve Success, because the thing is, a lot of people don't realize we fail forward to success. They think, oh, well, it must not be for me after a couple of failures, and they quit. But you persevere
for everybody.
Through.
It's just your definition.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I look at it, success is for everybody. And, you know, I want to get off track, too. I don't want to get too far of it, but how I look at it, whatever you consider success, some people consider success is getting married and having a family and doing this and doing that. So success should be defined on as how you define it, not on how society, your parents, your family. Your family would be the main ones that would literally fuck you up because they have a misconceived perception on who they want you to be.
That part.
And you have to have an idea of who you want to be. And sometimes you got to step away from that preconceived notion of, well, I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do that. When I was growing up, you got to understand, when I was growing up, you had to go to school, you had to go to college, you had to get a degree. There's just no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to.
Yeah, that's true.
And I did that.
Yeah.
And it helped me out. Now, with the onset of technology and different things, I do believe that you do need another form of education in order to build your craft. It doesn't necessarily have to be college. You can be mentored. You can be mentored. You can have an on-job experience with people or peel somebody. Who helped me get into the fashion industry, who really helped me, it was two people. First person was Ron Fennig. Ron Fennig is this old Jewish dude when I worked in the music business, and he took a liking to me and asked me would I want to come work for him for a company called Maury Shoes. Maury Shoes back in the day was the Gators. If you didn't have a pair of Maury's or Gator shoes, you was nobody. We talking about $1,200, $1,500 shoes. You know, M-A-U-R-I, Maury.
Wow.
When I got
with
Ron, and he gave me my first insight, he hired me as a sales rep. And then from there, I started designing, going to Italy. I had an office in Milan. I went to Milan four times a year. I had an office in New York. I was based out of Atlanta. And I designed shoes for Maury. And from that, I met Carl Kanai. Now, when I met Carl Kanai, my life changed. Carl took me under his wing, and he taught me the business, how to secure your money.
Yeah.
That's what I knew the craft. He taught me the business. And in knowing the business, it's called the fashion business or fashion industry. And if you don't know the business of it, you're going to fail because you have to have a solid infrastructure. Like, literally, Carl, I used to go to L.A. and Carl would let me stay at his house. I stayed at his house for him for about, 3 months, learning the business.
Wow.
Just watching him. Watching him get up and watching him do stuff. And, you know, for all y'all that don't know about Carl Kanai was really the first successful black urban designer. You know, calling him the urban godfather.
Yep.
Carl Kanai was I mean,
he sure was.
He was that dude. If you didn't have a pair of Carl Kanais or something like that, every rapper that you know of now wore Carl Kanai.
He's
the one who started all that before Diddy.
Yep.
Before FUBU.
Fat Farm,
I worked for all these guys. I worked for FUBU and I worked for Diddy. But Carl Kanai, he took me under and he showed me the business, and I learned.
So he was like a mentor to you.
He was my mentor. He was my mentor. And I still will call Carl today on certain things. I call, hey, Carl, man, can you? But that's how it is. You can pick up the phone and you can call somebody. See, you can't get that type of experience in college. And you can't get that type of experience from a book. This thing called hands-on and actually learning the industry. If you go to a college and you get a law degree, you get a medical degree, you get whatever degree that you want, they're teaching you the foundation and the fundamentals. When you go to work for a company, they're going to teach you how to apply it. See, I got all that.
Yeah, that's
boom.
Bad. And I think
you
said a really key component right there. And, you know, you said that what you learned you didn't get in school.
No, I didn't.
You know,
I got
that,
the basics
that,
in school.
Wow, yep.
But I didn't know how to apply it. I did not know how to apply it in what I was learning in school. Remember, again, and I stress this to people, my degrees are in social work, dealing with people, business marketing. And the business marketing, think about what is social media right now? It's marketing.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
You got people that never been to college before that are influencers. Influencer is just a marketer.
Yep, that's very true. So would you say
that's
easier now, you know, for what you're doing or even an upcoming, you know, you're a veteran in the game, but someone that doesn't have a large budget and they may not have an influencer or a mentor that they can go to like you did. Would you say fashion now, having that tool for the internet, is one of the driving components for a new up-and-coming fashion designer entrepreneur?
Yeah, the thing about social media is, and – when I was coming up, we didn't have social media. It was grassroots. It was street teams and it was things like that. Think about social media that has helped me, and I use social media immensely. But I tell people that on social media, everybody can be a star. Everybody can be a star. Everybody can come up with a concept and work social media to sell their brand. Like I have a tag phrase that I always say, and I put this on when I'm hashtagging. Remember. You are the brand. And you have to remember
that. I
love
it. Yeah, I see
you
put that on there. Yep, you sure do.
Because you are the brand. How you portray yourself and how you do imagery, because everything is visual now. People see you. And if I see you on social media, you're portraying a certain image, and I happen to bump into you somewhere, look, the people that are trying to discredit you, they don't take days off. They always looking for something to say, man, I ain't doing it like that. They ain't doing this like that. People are always looking for a flaw or kink in your armor. Don't give them one.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you are the brand. I don't say that.
You
are
the brand.
You are the brand. So how you portray it, you can do it, because there are influencers now that once upon a time, nobody knew who these people were. But look at what they do. Technology has made it easier for us to get out there. But you still have to have a plan. And you still have to have an outlet, and you still have to have some type of money. Back in the day, when I was, if you didn't have money, it was really, really hard because nobody was going to give you a chance. And as a black man coming up in the fashion industry that was dominated by Asians, whites, Jews.
Keep it real.
They weren't talking to me. They wasn't giving me those trade secrets or telling me where I could get the best price for cotton or where I could get the best price for this. What got me in is when I worked for Maury Shoes, which was like the epitome. I was the first black footwear representative in history. First black.
Go ahead.
Essence Magazine did a write-up on me. Ebony Magazine did a write-up on me. Again, the first black. I used to wear suits every day. Now I'm sneakers and track pants.
Right.
But it legitimized me. What it did was it legitimized me because an Italian footwear company that people knew took an interest, and not only took an interest, invested, the key word is invested, in this black dude from Toledo, Ohio, that nobody knew about. But the thing is, I was refined because the Army refined me and gave me discipline. It gave me discipline, it gave me responsibility. The music industry solidified me as people who knew my name. But when I got into with Mari, there they saw, wow, this Italian company, white company, got this black dude. Who the hell is he? We want to know why. Because if they're investing in him, they must know something we don't, and I want to know why.
Who is he?
And that pushed me forward. Who is he? He's ugly. Who is he? Now I got to show and prove.
Show up.
You know, so you got to have a plan. The thing is like my plan has always changed and it's flipped and it did this. But the bottom line of the foundation of me, of what I do is to work towards financial independence. And like that quote that you said, I'm in a place in my life right now to where I enjoy what I do and I have fun and I get up in the morning and I like it. But I'm financially independent to where, again, if I want to go do something, shit, the only reason I got to come back is I can't take my dog with me and I got to come back and feed my dog or I got something like that. But I've reached a pinnacle in my life to where I'm happy with enjoying what I do to where I can go enjoy the essence of life. Life isn't about fucking survival. Life is not about survival. It's about living. If you got to live to survive, then you're not living because survival can be taken away. You know,
that's true. That's very
the whole
true.
Thing, but you got to work at it. You really, really got to put your craft in. And above all, don't listen to nobody. I don't take advice from, I tell people, like, man, why would you take advice from somebody that ain't either doing it, done it, or showing somebody how to do it? And we always
that's
take
the
advice
truth.
From folks like our family
members. From the
wrong
people,
From the wrong people. From the wrong people.
Uh-huh.
You know, and somebody that'll come in and give you, that's actually doing it, we feel like, oh, man, I ain't listening to them. They just trying to, listen. You might tell me 10 things and only 3 might work for me, but I've learned something because I didn't know those other 3. You know, and that's what you
have
to do. Find your mentor. Find your mentor. Learn your craft. Home in on what you do, and you got to study what you do, and you got to be open. And like, again, and I stress, my generation is, as I call, old and they, I don't do that. You have to change your mindset. You got to unlearn all of that bullshit that you learned when we was growing up because it does not apply in the world today.
Yes.
Shit changes.
Oh, my goodness. It's changing, absolutely, because that's the thing. We can't have a set mindset for success.
You can't live with a set mindset. You have to be able to unlearn, and I say unlearn. There's a book that I read. And it's called Unlearn. It's by Humble the Poet. Go and
Humble
get the
book.
Poet.
Okay, I'm
and basically
check that
the
out.
Book is, yeah, basically this book is it's called Unlearn. It's about unlearning a lot of the stereotypical, and I call old Negro spiritual stuff that we learned from our parents. Because remember, our parents learned from who? Our grandparents, we learned from who? Slaves. There wasn't the opportunity back then. None. So they learned the basics in order to what? Survive. See, I'm out of survival mode.
Yep.
I'm living.
And see, that's where you developed the name Urban Legend because there was none before you in your generation.
There was none.
You know,
before
with
me.
Your family,
I'm setting
your ancestors. Okay. Man.
I'm setting stage. And when people ask me, well, how'd you come up with Urban Legend? Because I'm urban and I consider myself a motherfucking legend, period. From everything
that
I've done that I haven't gotten into.
Period.
And I'm setting stage for my future generation.
Period.
You can call me, you're not telling like this, you can call me asshole, you can call me rude, arrogant, but you'll never be able to call me broke. Period.
That part. I
but
know
I'm
that's
setting
right.
stage
that's
in
it.
Order for
that's
my
not gonna do.
People to live off of. You know, I've got grandkids. I got granddaughters. You know, like, look, I got 5 granddaughters, and I want to be able to set something up for my grandkids. And I got 1 grandson and 5 granddaughters, 1 grandson. Yep. And so I want that generational wealth. Remember, here's the key. I want that generational wealth that I can pass something down for my girls and for them that when I'm gone, they can be like, man, that was your granddad? Man, really? Wow. And that's what you want to do. You have to achieve that. It's called generational wealth. Let me tell you something. I tell people this. I've been rich 99 sometimes, but I've yet to become wealthy yet.
That's it. Yep.
I've been rich 99 times. Lower than Jay-Z, 99 problems, but wealthy is something that's attainable. You know, you can get it, but it's, again, you have to have a plan and just, above all, man, if you don't believe in yourself, ain't nobody else going to do it. If you don't portray a certain level of confidence, then why would anybody else believe in you?
That's the truth. You know, you gotta be your own cheerleader, okay? I mean, I love you said
man,
that too.
Look,
in a post.
You better pull out the pom poms and start shaking them.
You like you gotta be your number one fan. If you don't believe in yourself,
see
who
that's
is?
Why I like what you do. I like what you do, and I follow you, and I see things you're doing because really giving your listeners and you're showing people, especially women, that you don't have to be subsidiary to certain things. You can have your own and you can portray certain things. Like, I follow you and I see all the stuff you're doing. I may not say nothing. Think about social media.
I appreciate
it. I tell people, you never know who's watching. You never know who's watching. People watching. They may not like it.
They
may not say nothing, but trust me, they watching. Because we all want to watch success for two reasons. We want to watch somebody doing it for two reasons. We want to see if they really doing it or we wait for them to fail. You got them.
Bam.
Got their attention.
Look,
there's only two reasons people like you or follow you on social media. They either like what you're doing or they waiting for you to fail. So my thing is, give them some to watch.
Hey, look, how they say to church? Preach. And I know it. And this is why, though, no matter what, I'm going to continue to do me. Because at the end of the day, look, your haters can hate, right, Ed? But you look at your bank account, you ain't lost no money behind a hater. So,
and
look,
see,
we got to keep pushing.
The main thing for me is you need money in order to survive because we live in a capitalistic society. You need money in order to survive. And people's always goal is money. My goal is money in order. Money allows me to do the things that I like to do. But money isn't my overall focus. Don't get me wrong. You need it in order to survive because, like I tell people, I was like, look, man, the type of habits I got cost money. You know, my habits cost money. So I need them
indeed.
In order to sustain, to help for my mental. I don't, having money allows you to do certain things that you're not able to do, but it also allows you a certain freedom. It allows you a certain stress level. And it allows you to do things for your family and other people. But overall, for me, my success is determined by, like I told you, I can go when I want, I can come back when
That's
I want,
it.
And I can do what I want. But being responsible about it, you know, you have to be responsible about what you're doing. And if you're not responsible, you don't have a plan. Honestly, it's not going to work. And anybody trying to get either into the fashion business or any type of business, challenge yourself. Like about 3 years ago, I found myself getting cognitive, and what I call cognitively challenged. I'd read, I wouldn't understand. Like literally, I call myself getting cognitively challenged. So I challenged myself to where I read 12 books a year now. I read one book a month.
Wow.
I read one book a month, and it's books that. Whatever it is that I like, it's books about Black history. It's books about money, self-improvement, everything.
Like self-development books is what you read.
Yeah, but pick. See, I had to do this for myself because I found myself not being able to speak properly, losing. You have to work your brain. Your brain, you have to work. And I didn't read a lot.
Yeah.
So now
okay.
I challenged myself to read one book a month. That's 12 books a year.
All right,
and
now.
This is I'm going on my fourth year of doing it. But I've learned a lot. So challenge yourself to where you're weak at. See, weakness is not weakness. It's not weakness because it's yours. challenge yourself to build upon something that you need. If you're slow in math, don't be ashamed of it. Let me tell you, man, when I was in college, I was scared of math. I flunked my first math class in college. I got a straight F. I was afraid of it. You know? I was scared. But here's the thing. Most black people or people of color are not good at math because it's numbers. And remember, we got taught school late from our parents or our grandparents who, back in the day, they were prohibited from any type of using their brain. It was all hand labor, manual labor. Mm. Wasn't anything with math or numbers.
That's it.
And they passed that down to us. And when it came my time, my mom wasn't good at math. My mom didn't finish high school. But it allowed me to break that and do what I need to do because I was afraid of math. I got a straight F. But the second year I came back, straight F. I'm talking about straight F. And it wasn't F from not going to class. It was just straight F, like, duh.
I didn't understand it.
But when I went back, and I ended up passing that math class, and I got a C-. And people are like, damn, you got to say, look, man, I don't get off on the grade. I get off on the fact that I didn't know shit before I got here. Now I know something. I don't get off on A's and B's. If you get off on A's and B's, that's all good. I'm getting off at, I had an F before. Now I got a C-, which means I passed, which means I learned. I obtained knowledge. I obtained knowledge. Point blank. I never got off into grades. You know, I got off into what I could learn. Now, if it's something I excelled in, I got A's and B's. But to me, I broke my cycle from, well, I got to get A's and I got to get B's because the generation I grew up in, we didn't get A's and B's. Some of us didn't even graduate high school. We were just happy even to be in college. Wasn't no scholarships for black folks back then. I didn't have no jump shot, and I wasn't slinging rock. It was straight knowledge. If you really, you know, knowing if you want to go back and you know your history, it's the truth. So it was really a hustle. It has to be a hustle. Hustling ain't just about being out on the street. Hustling is them books.
Right.
Hustling is sitting in front. Remember, I used to have to go to the goddamn library. And you know, all my books was always laid or lost. Anything you want to know now, you can Google or Wikipedia.
Yep.
That's at your fingertips. Use that technology.
That's it.
At your fingertips.
I think just
so,
being an entrepreneur, period, though. You know what I'm saying? That you got to have a hustle. The money not going to come knocking on your door. You know, and
money is not always
going
to be the problem. Money, remember, to me, a good product will sell itself. A good product will sell itself. Sometimes we don't have the vision in order to see that we have a good product. And I use Uber as an example. Who would ever thought that you could have cars and just go pick people up? I use them as an example. That was an idea that at the time was asinine. People, oh, man, that'll never work. That'll give you another idea.
Yeah, that's real.
The Ring camera.
We was growing up, you know, don't talk to strangers. Don't get in the car with strangers. You remember that? You know?
Yeah.
Now we pay folks to get in the car with them.
Generations change and technology changes and ideas will always be the innovator to drive things. Think about Ring Camera. Ring Camera, they were on, Shark Tank, and they got turned down. Now look at them. A lot of people can't see your idea or have a vision. Yep. Exactly. Think of it. It's a lot of little things. If you sit and you think about it, and you'd be like, damn, I thought about that. Wow, I could have did that. But those people had the tenacity and the willingness to go forward, and they didn't have a lot of money. Let's keep it real. A good idea will sell itself.
Yes, it will.
There's thousands of them. Hell, Airbnb, Uber.
Well, look at I would have never thought of Airbnb. Renting my house out, like what? Sharing a room,
All of that stuff.
With a stranger.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's your idea. You know, and people probably heard this and seen it before. The ideas have to be so astronomical and so weird that it scares you and them.
Yeah.
You know, because that's an idea. Like, again, with me, fashion, man, I never would have believed I'd be – I am independently owned. I've never taken out a loan. I don't have investors. I don't have business partners. Mm-hmm. I've never taken out a loan, and I'm black and independently owned. I'm in Neiman Marcus, and at one time I was in 125 doors across the country.
Yeah.
And I did it myself. With no, and I stressed it. I tell people, I stressed it with no help.
Mm-hmm.
I never borrowed any money or went to the bank. Hell, I couldn't go to the bank and get a loan. They weren't giving no black folks loans.
They weren't giving no loans. They were like, what you going to
do? They weren't giving no black folks loans, period. Period.
Uh-huh.
For an idea that, what? A fashion lady, yeah, okay. It wasn't happening. You know, I hustled. My house was in foreclosure 12 times.
Ooh,
my house in Atlanta was in foreclosure 12 times. And you know what? I'll give you the address. It is 815 Shadow Lakes Drive. You got a chance to go and Google it or pull it up on an MLS, and you go through and look at the chain of title. You'll see. Matter of fact, it might have been 26 times. You'll see foreclosure. Because it came time to pay the mortgage, but I had to put it in my company and hustle it back. But I did it 26 times.
You
I think it really actually was 26 times. But I believe in me. I believe in me when nobody else. Believe in yourself when others won't, and some people just won't. They don't. But you have to believe in yourself. I can't stress the fact that you have to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, I've been with family members, ex-girlfriends, shit like that, that didn't believe in me. You know what I do now? I just sit back and I'm like, it feels good. What Mike Jones say? Back then he didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all up on me. Hey, that used to be my song, boy.
Listen, okay, because you lived it. You know, they didn't believe in you.
They didn't
see the vision that you seen.
But see, everybody's not going to believe in you. You can't get mad at people that don't believe in you because everybody's not going to believe in you. It's just, that's just the nature of the beast. It's just the nature of individuals. We're called, it's self-preservation is the first rule of law. You know, and everybody's not going to believe in you. You'll have certain people that you can maybe count on your hand that are actually going to take you up under their wing and actually try to instill some type of knowledge into you because they see something in you. It's very rare. I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I try to give back, and I try to mentor young fashion designers, young black fashion designers.
That's
and the thing that I mentor them with is just the knowledge on where to go to get their product made. Without wasting your money over here and it didn't work. You know, the worst thing you can do is not know where to get your product made or get stuff done because now you're spinning your wheels and you're wasting money and you can only take. It's just like being in a fight. If I'm in a fight, there's only so many hits I can take before I'm going to go down. I'm either going to knock him out or there's only so many hits I can take. I mean, you're in business financially. There's only so many losses you can take before you're out of the game. You know, i.e. 26 foreclosures, but I still kept the house. I ended up selling the house in 2019. I never lost the house. Didn't lose it.
Okay.
Never lost it.
This
you know, and ended up selling it, what, 4 years ago.
You see that? See, so, I mean, that it just goes to show that when you're truly passionate about something, where there's a will, there's a way. And that's what your story is.
You
got to
be passionate.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I got to ask you one more question.
A lot of things, me, just fell in place. Like, honestly, I could not have planned this. There's no way that you can plan certain things because life takes over. You have life. You have consequences. You have certain things that transpire. But you have to be able to what I call POP, pop. Put yourself in a position of power. That's what I call pop. Position of power.
Okay.
If you can network and put yourself in certain positions of power by networking and putting yourself in a room with certain people to obtain knowledge, then you can take that knowledge and do certain things. You got to be able to network. Put yourself involved in. Yeah, look, you remember the movie Hustle and Flow?
Yep,
remember that old movie? What he said?
Yep.
He said, "Man, you didn't even know. You didn't even know, old boy." Did he say, "Hey, man, sometimes you gotta lie."
You gotta do it.
Remember that part in the movie said, sometimes you gotta lie.
Yep.
But he put himself in a position. He put himself in a position to network, to be there. And that's the hustle.
That's it. He showed up. That's it.
The game ain't designed for us to win.
Uh-huh.
It's not. The game is not designed for us to win if we play by the rules. You can't play by the rules and win. I'll be the first one to tell you. I've had to manipulate and change the rules and do my things, some things my own way. You know, I can't tell you now because I don't know if the statute of limitations or whatever on certain things, but the game is not played for us to win. The game is designed to keep us bogged down and to keep us subservient and to keep us depending on the powers that have be. Now, once you can manipulate that, you become part of the in crowd. Once you're in, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're in, you're in. Because, see, once you get in and they see that you're in, they want to know how you got there.
Yeah, that's it. That's true. Because success attracts people that desire the same level where you're at. So then people will start, you know, following you and wanting to learn what did you do to get to the level of success that you achieve. And believe me, I want to ask you this question here. Yeah, absolutely. What I want to ask you, let's see, we have about, how many minutes? We got about 5 minutes before the show ends.
Right.
I want
ask
to find
whatever.
Out, when before you were in your fashion designing class, you said in high school, right? You said you took it twice,
mm-hmm.
the fashion course. Were you interested in fashion prior to that, or it didn't start till after the class?
No, it's always been in me. I just didn't know what it was. I think everybody has a gift. Fashion is my gift. Ever since I can remember when I was 13, 14 years old, I've always been into fashion. I had my first job at TJ Maxx working, and I remember I used to cut the eyes off and sew them on my shirts and sew them on my socks and shoes. I used to go to the Goodwill and buy the old man suits, the baggy suits, and sew them and trade them for my nickname in high school was called GQ. That was my
GQ.
Nickname. I got really into my craft when I was 14 years old. I ended up getting a summer job, and I was able to buy all the clothes I wanted. And that's from there, it was in me. I just didn't know how. It needed to be developed. You know, it needed to be developed. I didn't have the ingredients. I didn't know the ingredients. That's when life took over. And there were certain things that happened to me, fashion merchandising, going to the Army, getting a chance to experience Europe, coming back. All those things were ingredients that put me to the person that I am today because I had no idea. I was, in all essence, I was a fuck-up.
Okay.
Literally.
Keep it real.
Graduated high school. Think about it. When you're in high school and the person that got held back, everybody laughed at him. He was the dummy or the person. They got laughed at. Remember,
right.
I got fired from 8 jobs in 1 year. Who does that?
8 jobs. Who does that? Okay.
Who does that? 1 year.
Urban legend. Look, urban legend did that.
It's not for anything. I'm an urban legend just off that.
For real.
Just off that, I'm an urban legend. 8 jobs. Find me somebody. I challenge somebody to get fired and tell me they got fired from 8 jobs in 1 year.
Man, but it was destined because God knew you weren't supposed to be in no job. You supposed to work for yourself, and that's what you're doing now. And
but I had to go through, I had to go through the course, and I had to go through a lot of things that just happened. There was levels of luck, there was levels of divine intervention, and there was luck. A lot of people were placed in my path that I didn't know that turned out to be for me. You know?
Oh, wow.
You have to have a certain degree of luck.
That was going to be my next question before we close, was what was your greatest sacrifice, and did you lose a lot of friends on the way up to the top?
I'm trying to think, what was my greatest sacrifice? I'll be honest with you, I can't really say that other than, see, I want to say time, but time is an asset that you put in to get dividends out of. So
okay.
I think I wasn't in my early years, I think my sacrifice was, and I can't really call it a sacrifice, it was my time. I spent 3 years in the military. I stayed in school. I wasn't able to do a lot of things that people did, but I was glad that I wasn't able to do a lot of things that my friends did because some of them are dead in jail. Remember, I grew up in the crack era. I grew up with the crackhead. What saved me was the military. The military saved me. And I don't put it on everybody, but the military saved me because I lived in Europe for 5-6 years when the crack epidemic was going on, and a lot of my friends were involved in it and dead in jail. So sacrifices, I don't know. I think some of my sacrifices, people that I lost along the way, you know, like a very good friend of mine, his name is Chris Hamer, was a very good friend of mine. And, you know, like just certain people that I wasn't able to, like, see me now. I think that's my sacrifice. I wish I could have brought them up with me and they could be alive and see me now to where we could go and do things. I'm a solo person.
And enjoy.
I've traveled half the planet by my damn self.
I'm not,
you know,
for real.
Wasn't meant that way. It just happened to be that way because I was just focused on certain things that other people wasn't focused on. So sacrifice, I can say time, but the time paid off in a dividend. You know, it's hard. And I can't say money because time is money.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Golly. Well, I definitely have appreciated. Listen, you have dropped nugget after nugget after nugget. Brown Sugar Radio Law listeners, I hope tonight
Man, I
that
could
you've
go on
gotten
and on
earful.
And on.
Look, okay, we got to have
brown
your
sugar.
You got to have your
Give
dad.
Me some of that brown sugar.
Hey, don't play. We're going to have a virtual party up in here. All right?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad I'm glad I was able to do it. You know, I'm out traveling right now. I'm at a clothing show in Chicago right now. So.
Yeah. And, no, it's a blessing.
I
want to
make sure I got the time
that.
Right.
You were so funny. We was getting our time together, but I appreciate you tremendously. I do, my brother. And got a shout out to my sis for linking us up together. She know both lady on the show. She know. I appreciate her. She helped to link this and make this happen. And so I just really, this is what it's about for me is empowering one another, lifting each other up. We got enough people tearing us down in the world. Okay. So I'm just really to have this opportunity with you, and definitely your next launch, drop, whatever you want to come through on Brown Sugar Radio, I got you. We can chop it up.
Definitely. The next thing I got coming up is what we're going to do. I got some stuff in the making now that's coming up, and I'll keep you posted on it. You know, but see, like I said, right now, I'm just about traveling the world and enjoying life. That's really what it's about for me right now is traveling and nobody ever is going to tell you, man, I wish I would have worked more. They're going to tell you they wish they would have traveled and done more things. Nobody's ever going to tell you they wish they would have worked more.
Absolutely. It's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, and that's what I've seen you do. If you could shout out, I have one of my listeners asking, I'm reading the message now, your social media, if you can follow, they want to know where can they follow.
My social media is I am the T-H-E underscore urban legend. So it's I-A-M-T-H-E underscore urban legend.
Awesome.
You know,
awesome.
And it's on
all my
IG page and Facebook.
Okay. Yeah. And then I tagged them. For those of you, this probably is a listener that's on Blog Talk. Follow me on Blog Talk. If you actually go to Brown Sugar Radio on Facebook, you'll see his tags there too. I tag them and everything. Okay. So, and Instagram.
Hey.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. I have learned so much. Most importantly, the number one thing you were sharing was get a mentor. Get a mentor. Get someone that knows more than you and read a book a month. Those are the two huge nuggets I took from this conversation.
Now, that's what I do. If you don't want to read, you ain't got to, but I had to because, remember, again, I found myself in certain areas of cognitively losing my ability to speak and read and understand, and I couldn't have that.
Yeah,
you know,
I couldn't be the dude saying, know what I mean?
I didn't want to be that guy.
That ain't it. That ain't it. Look, we on some boss stuff, okay? We on boss level. You can't talk like that. You a boss. Right. All right.
Get the book
Unlearned
by Humble the Poet. Unlearned by Humble the Poet, and trust me, you'll be like, wow.
Amazon up tonight. I'm hitting them up tonight. It's been real. We love you. Thank you, Ed, for coming through. You know, to play your theme song. Look, while we exiting out.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all be looking good tonight. Make sure you check out Urban Legend. Order you. Cool. So Making a day now.